Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
As the demands on South Africa's professionals grow more complex, I guess so do their healthcare needs. And the debate around closed versus open medical schemes, I think, has never been more relevant, particularly for professionals who are navigating high-pressure careers. Often they are self-employed and, need I mention, rising healthcare costs. So let's pull all of that together. I'm in conversation with Craig Comrie, who is Chief Executive Officer of ProfMed. Craig, good evening to you. So let's start with this. Why do you believe that the current healthcare system struggles to meet the unique needs of professionals? Where's the gap here?
Well, professionals and even the definition of the professional has changed in the last 5 to 10 years. I guess when you think of a professional, often even in our own medical scheme, we've thought of doctors and engineers and accountants and lawyers. In fact, that definition has changed significantly. Even those with those typical qualifications find themselves working in a different arena, doing business in many ways, actually running businesses that aren't always aligned to their professional qualifications. So we see emerging IT specialists that are hugely successful in terms of their own businesses that they run. And so as the professional definition has changed, so has the need to cover those young professionals in the industry. And so the issue of closed or open scheme becomes very relevant because the professionals move quite quickly. You have to design benefits that are relevant to these professionals and their changing needs.
Let's get a definition in just a moment of the difference between a closed and open scheme. But I notice you use the word young. Are we specifically referring to a younger cohort, or does this debate apply right across the age demographic?
Yeah, it is specifically to a young professional cohort. So typically in the ages of anything between, and we know young is some of the guys earning lots of money, even at teenager stage, all the way through to probably 30-year-olds. And they're doing it differently. They're actually finding their qualifications a little bit differently, sometimes online, sometimes self-taught. And many are still going through the traditional qualification route, but heading into these young spaces in terms of how to use AI in their businesses, how to really get ahead in the world by balancing maybe two or three professions at a time.
And is the argument that the so-called open medical schemes are simply not addressing this?
Well, I think an open medical scheme has to provide medical scheme benefits for everybody, not just a professional cohort. So they have to actually look at the needs of the full population grouping rather than the specific niche group of professionals who think and manage their financial, even their healthcare affairs very differently. I mean, a wonderful example that we're aware of in the last 10 years is this growing trend that even though you may be living in South Africa, you're earning money from three or four different geographies in the world, depending on the business and the type of professional that you are. And so we see that these are young professionals that also are mobile. So they're working 3 months or 6 months in these different geographies only, and hopefully to return home being in South Africa. And so they're requiring things like travel cover for more than just the typical 30 or 60 or 90 days that have traditionally been offered in the open schemes. While in a scheme like ProfMed, you would get 180-day cover should you wish to travel overseas and still have the healthcare cover that you need.
And do you think, again, among that cohort, there is a lack of understanding in what they need and how to best access it? And if that's the case, how do you overcome it?
Yeah, the complexity of medical schemes has always been a problem, and it's a growing issue as we have different regulatory reforms in the country coming through, and probably the reforms aren't staying ahead of the pace of the needs of even the professional grouping. So trying to understand what you need is a really important part of getting the right cover. And it sounds like a typical insurance principle, but that's where healthcare insurance or medical schemes actually operate. And so understanding that need and driving flexible solutions on what you need then is a key part to dealing and being relevant to these professionals.
Aside from the flexibility, I would imagine that incentivization is also important when it comes to preventative care, particularly for professionals with demanding schedules. In other words, they've got to be rewarded for taking care of themselves.
Yeah, there's lots to be said, and we often comment about the importance of healthcare literacy, and that is understanding the cover, the healthcare cover that you need. And so it does move into this other bracket to say, well, what is the flexibility of what I need right now? But being aware of the preventative care benefits that you should access to invest in your health now. It sounds like an investment conversation to say you have to do some key investment activities now to earn the long-term rewards of happiness and longevity. And so these preventative care benefits effectively for many of the medical schemes, including our own, is being incentivized. So if you go for your age-appropriate health risk assessment so that we understand your BMI, whether you have family history of concerns, whether it's diabetes or other, we're incentivizing people to become more aware of these things, to change their behavior and invest in their health into the future.
Craig, a lot of people that you are targeting might not have a stable income. In other words, it's project-based work, so, you know, it's the feast and famine argument. How important is it to find that balance between affordability on the one hand, which could be moving up and down, and the comprehensive coverage, which is so critical, particularly in a high-stress environment?
Yeah, so it's another observation that we've made over the last few years, is effectively since the Credit Act came in, many individuals in general have not had access to credit, save these young professionals or older professionals who still have access. And so they've become more indebted as they went through COVID. And so the affordability of their medical scheme premiums has become a bigger and larger issue. It usually becomes either your second or third biggest expense after a mortgage or a vehicle is your medical scheme coverage. And so from an affordability level, it really is important that you don't just buy the most comprehensive medical scheme benefits, which they are in the market and they average over 10,000 Rand a person, but that you can, if you are health literate, if you look carefully, sometimes use a broker if necessary, get to something that specifically addresses your current needs with a view of the future. And as you do that, you can go down to, and we offer an option for 1,022 Rand, no co-payments for hospitalization, for a professional who is in the space where they don't have consistent income. So it's for a lower, typically what we would term a lower income bracket space. But it is, and if you do it properly, you can access significant reduced premiums, which makes it even more affordable than some of the health insurance products that are in place at the moment.
And just a final one, and I'm sure this is something that you are applying your mind to, in what way might the onset of NHI affect the closed system offering?
Yeah, so the NHI is set to affect all medical scheme members, and so together with the Industry Association, the Health Funders Association, we are opposing the NHI. We think it's a good idea as an intent perspective, but the mechanisms and the plan itself is the wrong way to get better access to healthcare for not only just those in the medical scheme space, but for the whole of South Africa. And so there are key aspects of that legislation that has to be challenged. Their constitutional rights that have to be challenged for those who access healthcare in a medical scheme space and those that don't. But the choice should always be available. So we are actively engaged in some of the challenges to the NHI, and we're hoping that together with the President and the Minister of Health, there'll be a more collaborative approach to how we can achieve better universal healthcare access in the future.
And I'm going to thank you for your time. That's Craig Comrie, who's the Chief Executive Officer of ProfMed. Appreciate your time tonight, Craig. Thank you.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.